it leads me to a thought, though. Do you think the...
Have you got that thing going?
Yeah. Do you think the... I guess I'm trying to... see if there is a... If there is a turning point or a shift that suggested a major change in direction that you saw. You said in the 80s it went through spending. Do you think people in North Carolina were aware that the legislature was doing what they're now criticizing Congress for doing? I mean, is there a reaction to that, an awareness among voters that they're doing?
No, I don't think the voters were aware of it. I don't think most politicians were aware of it. I don't think most people are aware of it today, the thing I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. You might talk to someone like Liston Ramsey who might agree with me, some old head like that who says, well, we ought to watch it a little more closely about the budget. That's the main thing that I saw. Plus, I saw there are less number of lawyers in each house. Now, here I'm not trying to take up for lawyers, but I also saw a less respect for fundamental rights and the Constitution and knowledge of that. It wasn't that they were just mean people, but they wanted to get things done, and they sometimes didn't know that there were restrictions on us. I guess maybe I kind of stand out as a conservative in that respect, but mm-hmm. It bothered me that all kinds of things, and they're still being offered, and they're going to be offered. You just wait and see. This victims' rights bill, for instance, I stood up before my Constitution Committee, that bill went dead, tried to explain to them what they were doing, and that group that was there, those people pushing it, the leader of it understood. The lady came up to me and appreciated it, but some of the others, angry as they could be, couldn't understand what in the world I was talking about trying to change the Constitution. They didn't even know parts of the Constitution they were changing. See, the Constitution says, for one thing, that the state of North Carolina doesn't give anybody anything except for services. Well, if you give them a lawyer to get compensation, which they call restitution, except for services, I believe you're violating that. And they had all kinds of things they wanted about what you could do to a prisoner. The Constitution puts five things in there you can do on a person convicted of a crime: fine, the penalty, jail time, take him out of public office if he holds it, and not let him have another one. That's it. And they never heard of that. It's frightening to me, some of the things. You're gonna see more political effect of the media and of special interest groups and of PACs and of lobbyists and of money and of those in favor of initiatives and referenda and nut groups than you've ever heard of. It's coming.
So you don't see this as necessarily a change in Republican-Democratic alignment,
nope,
as much as it is just people being able to focus their anger or energy or whatever it is and turn an election or
turn a vote in a House or Senate.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. And that bothers me. They want perfect democracy. They want an electronic town hall where everybody votes on everything that comes up. Perot and others.
What about the alignment of the parties?
Well, there's a weakening. There's a terrible weakening of partisanship, mm-hmm, which I think is bad for the country. A lot of people would argue with me, but the history of this country, George Washington didn't like parties. Thomas Jefferson did. But the history of this country has been one party in power and the other strong enough to criticize and to keep them straight and honest. And that suits me. I don't mind. Oh, I'd like to have the Democrats in power always, but I don't mind a relatively strong party, whichever one's in power, to keep them straight. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't mean the things that you've been seeing on TV and nationally, criticizing each other and telling lies and this, that, and the other. The manners have pretty well gone out of politics, too. And you just don't have it anymore. You don't. But look at that. I think eventually the people will catch on and maybe they'll stop it. But we've got a complete failure of public instruction, in my opinion. I can't imagine anybody wanting to graduate, somebody to graduate. Well, they don't want to hold them back because that'll take away their self-esteem if you make them go through the sixth grade twice, or some such something. What so many people have misunderstood is the Constitution does not guarantee that everyone is equal. It guarantees that everyone has equal political rights. We're not equal. That's untrue. Now, you shouldn't take away from somebody because they're black or Indian. I'm part Indian. I don't want them taken away from me. But to say that I've got as much sense as Einstein, no. Or that my self-esteem ought to be up equal to his. Somebody will tell me you're equal to Einstein? Good gosh. I didn't mean to preach here, but got off into it, didn't I?
Well, you have been you've been one who's been active in issues involving individual rights.
Yes, sir.
The 73 and 75 sessions with the Equal Rights Amendment.
Yes, sir.
That awareness of that was a movement that sort of came out of that same kind of special interest politics that
that's different.
Well, how are they different?
Everyone should have equal rights and equal opportunities, but everyone is not equal so that you take a person who's blind and try to say, well, we're going to put them in a contest to see who can see the furthest. This, you know, it's ridiculous the way they handle things like that. The two are not even close to being the same. I'm for all of those individual rights in our Constitution, and I think women were deprived of political rights, even the right to vote for a long time. And if they have physical differences, fine. That's all right. Recognize that. But don't say just because you're a woman, you can't do this or you can't do that, if physically you can do it and mentally you can do it. That's the only thing I've ever gotten at.
But the issue aside, I mean, the Equal Rights Movement, the ERA movement,
yeah,
in the early 70s was an example 20 years ago of a focused political power of Republicans and Democrats forming a coalition around an issue, just like in the 90s Republicans and Democrats may form a coalition around gun control or abortion or other issues like that that don't have any particular partisan alignment. Is that?
No, that's still not what I'm getting at.
That's not the same thing. You know, they still don't think that's the same thing.
Uh-huh.
Do you think that was a forerunner to the? Did it teach these other groups that they could?
Yeah,
do that?
Yeah. That probably that much is true. It's like the first proposition that was offered in California. Proposition 13 is the first one I remember, a very famous one. Now we're up to 287 or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those first ones led to the rest. And if you get initiatives or referenda written into your constitution, just like they got the weighted vote idea, and that came from Scandinavia, they put it into two towns out in Colorado, and then later folks would like to use it. They've got a weighted vote over to Cherokee Tribal Council now. You or the one man, one vote idea. You elect 12 councilmen. You elect them from different townships. Those townships have different populations, so when they go in to vote, one fellow may have the equivalent 1.5 votes, and 1.3, and 1.5. Well, that may be fair, but wouldn't it be a little more fair to make your townships the same one some way, you see, that kind of thing? Anyway, that's a small part. Mm-hmm. But these ideas come. Now, that came 100 years ago, the idea of weighted votes. The idea of an issue referendum has been around for a long, long time, but nobody has really gotten serious about it until here lately. And now everybody wants it. They see how we're going to exert power, I suppose, is what they're saying. It's dangerous. It's mob rule. That's what I'm getting at.
Mm-hmm.
If you make up your mind while you're in a frenzy and you vote on something while you are angered, like they want to do by electronic voting, you're going to have some of the darnest things you've ever heard of. What you want is a legislature of sound thinking, experienced, honest people who will take the time to think it through and do what's right. Now, have I got my point across to you?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Well, that's what you want.
Yes.
But I mean that.
I don't think we've ever had it, and I don't think we'll ever get it. Mm-hmm. Winston Churchill said, "Democracy is the worst form of government in the world, except all the others."
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to be perfect, but you ought to try to get. It's just like the lottery wanting a referendum. That's unconstitutional. I told them it was. Shocked them. But it is. And that's one way of taking the burden off of you of voting up or down, you see. Say, oh, let the people vote.
Where are the political parties in this? At one time, 30 years ago, they were controlled. You were talking
yes,
about Ashley.
They have lost all kinds of influence.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it may be that the recent Republican surge will cause some of that to come back. I don't. Probably will, some.
On the part of the Democrats? Yeah,
on part of both.
Both. Uh-huh.
But it looked like it was declining all these years. Used to, your precinct chairman had some influence. Of course, I don't know what you got to go back to the days when they told you who to hire for a school teacher or what road to grade or pave. That's what they did back in the old days. And now, even the party chairman don't even know who the precinct chairman are, you see,
mm-hmm.
in many cases. Or they're not organized right here in this county. Some precincts are not organized at all. Wasn't that way when I was chairman. I went around to every 53 precincts in one day, election day, and I went to every cotton picking one of them. If they weren't there, they found out that they should be. But it's not that way anymore.
Is that a has that been a gradual thing? Or
yes.
Do you think that
it's declined. I haven't seen any polls or surveys, but I would like for someone to take a surveyor in the state of North Carolina and look at these civic clubs, one after the other, and to compare it to 40 years ago and tell me the average age then and now. Then 35, now 68.
Well, actually, I don't know if they've done it in North Carolina, but I have seen a study similar to that.
Well, I never heard of it. What does it say? How
in
close
the U.S.,
out?
And that it's not just civic clubs, it's bowling leagues. It's,
whatever it is.
Any kind of community
yeah.
organization, participation has declined. It's less than it was years ago.
Has to be. I've been looking at that. I've been thinking about it. It has to be. Churches, probably the same. Oh, well, marriage is probably the same.
Let me get back to Sary Sanford a second. What do you think Sanford's legacy was in politics and in North Carolina? What did he help the state do or not do?
Well, education is certainly number one. Education in general, not only the public schools where you got, of course, you got the food tax to run that, but community colleges, that he should be credited to that. Now, there are other, many people had a hand in that, like Gordon Greenwood from here while mm-hmm. in the legislature and other and so on, but education, community colleges, I think just the general economy, but that's kind of hard to, that's kind of hard to pin down because states don't control the economy anyhow, the federals do. But those two things would be outstanding in my mind. He was a strong executive and sensible. I would put those two at the top.
When Dan Moore came in as to succeed him in 65, there were a number of things that that Sanford had started or had started during his administration that either got stopped or were allowed to sort of die on the vine. Why did that happen?
That's a tough question. I know exactly what you're getting at, but if you look at Dan Moore, let's first give him some credit. He had the opportunity to appoint more judges than any governor that I've ever heard of, and he did a good job. You know, we got the new Court of Appeals, and he appointed district courts, and so on and so on. And he was a judge, and he later went on the Supreme Court. He did a good job there, and he ought to be given that credit. But aside from that, Dan Moore, I see the most truthful way to put it. He just kind of held the government together, and that is about it. No initiatives, no strong things to do, nothing new. Just.
Has that been the cycle in North Carolina? I mean, look who followed. Here comes John Umsted followed Carr Scott. I mean, that was a contrasting change.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe there were some others like that. Is that the case?
I hadn't really thought of that.
In that legislature in 65, do you think there was an attitude among the members that they were just sort of tired and that we had already started enough and we don't need to do any more? Or was that retrospective?
Just no, sort of looked like? I didn't see that. I think they were looking to the governor for any new thing or to even pick up anything that was going and to go forward with it, and it didn't happen. And I don't misunderstand. I'm not criticizing Dan Moore. That was just his way of doing things.
Right.
He was.
That was the character of his whole administration.
Yeah.
He was a caretaker.
That's right. I hadn't thought of that term, but that's pretty close.
New.
Yeah.
Where do you think the Democratic, shifting around here, but a question I forgot to ask a minute ago. Where do you think the Democratic Party is headed? In North Carolina, is it going to revive itself and get back to the basic kind of the things you were talking about with precinct organization and attention to the details?
I think that number one. More so than any time I can remember, it's going to ignore the National Party. There are those here who've done that before. But it's going to step out on its own. And it is going to revive. And it's going to do it through organization. The one thing I don't know, and I can't get a handle on, and it's probably maybe 90% of the whole influence, and that is how are they going to handle public information? How are they going to get out to the public with it? My TV and all this. What are they going to say, and who's going to say it, and how's it going to fit in with the national and all of that? That I don't know. The rest I can see. Well, the rest is so simple. That is, most everybody say, yeah, you've got to organize. We'll do that. And the natural reaction is they think the national situation caused the loss this time. Therefore, they distance themselves from that. Those are two things I'm certain of. The third one is, and it's a big one, how are they going to try to influence the public beyond this organization I'm telling you about? And I don't believe you can do it now like you could 20, 30 years ago. You've got to recognize that gosh, all this mass media and all this instant stuff, you've got to come up with something. I don't know the answer to that.
How is it going to deal with what you used to call splinter groups? Now they're called special interest groups, like a Christian coalition,
well,
NRA.
I've tried to think through on a Christian coalition. You know, usually what you do is try to get with them and compromise or come to terms. How in the world are you going to come to terms with some of the things Christian coalitions coming? I don't know. How do you compromise? I've heard talk from the Republicans on this about on abortion, of leaving it. Don't make that a front issue, but kind of come together. How do you come together on that? I don't know. Our term limits. How do you come together? I don't know the answer to that. As far as I'm concerned, I'm going to continue my beliefs and saying what I believe on every issue that comes up. If it's, and sometimes I say it when it's not even proper or wise to do so, but I don't believe in term limits because you can kick them out every 2 years. That is, most of them, not the U.S. senators, but those rest you can. I don't believe we ought to pass laws against abortion. I don't personally like it, but that doesn't make any difference. That's a matter between them and their maker, not between them and their government. Things like that, I'm going to stick to what I believe, but that doesn't mean I'm going to get elected anymore either, does it? More people who stick with what they believe are going to get thrown out.
Mm-hmm. What was the outcome in your race?
A pretty good majority on the other side. All across.
Mm-hmm.
And that was from the lack of Democrats getting out and some switching, mostly those, where the lies were told and they believed, and more Republicans coming out. A lot of people switched. I haven't dug into it to see the statistics.
Do you see this as this last election as a whether that you see that this last election have a lasting impact, a major influence on what's going to happen next, or could the voters be just as fickle in 96?
Well, it was
the other way.
It was a one-time deal so far as the big effect it had. It's not going to have that big effect again one way or the other, but some's going to linger. But the anger and the misdirection is going to be lost in 2 years. So you're not going to have that same thing. You can still have this business of the media affecting so many people and getting lies out. Well, who's this fellow? See, I haven't watched TV in 3 years. I quit in disgust. You may have picked that up already because I know so little. This fellow, Rush Limbaugh, people listen to him and believe him. And if they keep on doing that, I don't know what in the world is going to happen. I still believe in the First Amendment, but I'm about to come to the conclusion that TV is not part of the press, but it's still a part of free speech, so I can't say much about that again. I guess anybody ought to be able to get up and say whatever they want to, and if they lie, they ought to be sued. And that's about it.
What I hear you saying is that the North Carolina politicians have lost control of North Carolina.
Yes, sir.
They're influenced by the National Party, they're influenced by national special interest groups, or a radio talk show host.
Yes, sir. You got it.
And that's what you're talking about with the information. How are you going to compete with that? Is that what you're
yes,
saying?
Yes, sir.
How do you compete with that?
That's
how do you
great.
Get those people back?
That's right. Now, the old-time organization, you've got to have that, and they've got to get back to that. But whether or not that'll be sufficient, I don't know. I don't think it will be.
Compare, say, in the 60s, if you wanted to get information out, you could use the organization.
Right.
You could use the media, too. But
yeah.
You depended on this network.
Yes.
And you now that network is shattered.
And party loyalty has gone, too.
Outshouted, maybe. I mean, it's not being heard anymore.
That's
if,
right.
If it exists.
That's right. Oh, there's some of us, old-timers, that won't change at all.
Mm-hmm.
But less and less of it. You don't see me volunteering to lead the state or the nation, do you?
Now, you were party chairman.
Yes, sir.
What years were those?
When Clinton was elected during that year, until January. Well, when Clinton and Hunt was elected, and
okay.
the minute we got a Democratic president, governor, and lieutenant governor, I decided the thing for me to do was to resign because standing on the floor of the Senate, I didn't want to vote some way and have the press saying that the party was all torn up between the governor and the senator who's the chairman, and so I resigned. That just made good sense. As long as I had a Republican governor and lieutenant governor, it didn't make any difference because we didn't have a leader as such, and so I could vote however I wanted to and nobody could jump on me much. But we lost Sanford that year, too, and we lost our congressman here. So we didn't win everything.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't do too darn well. We didn't do well about Clinton, but did better than I thought we were going to.
Did that give you an insight into either concern or satisfaction? I'm not sure which, about what's ahead. I mean, did that heighten your experience?
I can't answer that. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That's tough for anybody to answer, I think. I just go on what I learn as I go and let it go with that. I don't know. I think Clinton has been a good president. I think he has made mistakes, but I don't think they're as big nearly as the media makes them. And I think it's just awful, the feeling that America has now. You'd think we're in war or depression or something. They're so unhappy and dissatisfied.
Why do you think Sanford lost in 92?
That's simple. His heart. That did it. Of course, here again, it's that damn information getting out. Just, well, you take an episode of any kind, a crime, a burning, or anything, and you might have heard about it 30 days ago, 2 or 3 days. Now you hear about it for 90 days, day after day after day. You see? Everything's played up. I believe I've about played out. What do you think?
Well, I could sit and talk to you for a long time. But
you wouldn't get anything of use. That's what I was thinking.
No, I will.